Blog Talk Radio.
Doing tonight, this is your host, Coach Terrence Wood, in the Before You Go Pro locker room, and I am pumped up as always. You guys know I come in the locker room pumped up, but tonight I am especially excited because it is the NFL draft, it is the opening bell, it is the first round, and so many young men are having their dreams come to fruition tonight. And others will have their dreams come to fruition in the upcoming days. But we have a gentleman with us tonight by the name of Chris Gregg. He was literally going through this process last year, and we are definitely appreciative for Chris coming on to the locker room show tonight. He is a former Arkansas Razorback, and he is currently a tight end with the Buffalo Bills. And I think Chris is currently with us, so let's see if we can get him on the line here. Hello, Chris, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, how you doing, boss? This is Terrence Wood, and you're in the Before You Go Pro locker room, man. We really appreciate the time.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, no problem. So, obviously, you know, we got about 30 minutes here, and I really want to jump right into it. Right now, as we speak, the NFL draft is going on, and this is a process that you went through last year. Does this bring back any memories for you or any thoughts of what you went through?
Man, it brings back a lot of memories, a lot of stressful moments. As you know, I was drafted in the seventh round, so I had to wait until the last day. I knew I wasn't going in the first round, but I thought I would go maybe third or fourth. So it was a lot of stressful moments going on, but everything worked out for a reason. I'm in a good place in Buffalo.
I hear you on that. And are you currently in Buffalo right now?
Actually, I'm traveling home for Mother's Day. I just left Buffalo. I'm in between flights on my way back to Arkansas.
Okay, well, there you go, man. You're a good son. You got to take care of mom, definitely. I don't know if you heard, but your team actually picked up Sammy Watkins with, I believe, the third overall pick. They traded up to draft him. Any opinions on that pick?
Yeah, I kind of figured that we would do something like that. I heard a couple people talking this week while I was up there at workouts talking about how they really liked Sammy and I knew the receiver was one of the places that we were going to think about drafting, and I'm really happy with the pick.
If you were the GM for the Buffalo Bills, would you have drafted a receiver, or would you have went in another direction?
I probably would have went receiver or O-lineman. Those were the two main places I think that we needed some help at to get us to the playoffs where we want to be.
I hear you. So I know this is your first time in the locker room, Chris, and what we have is a company that works with young football players across the country, guys who want to do what you're doing. And as you know, that's a journey, and there's highs and lows that come with that. And once again, we appreciate you sharing your time. Where did you originally grow up, Chris?
I'm from Arkansas. I'm from a small southeastern town called Warren, Arkansas.
Okay. And is Warren, Arkansas, is that a big city or is that a small hometown type
community? No, it's a real small hometown. It's a real community feel.
Gotcha. And I was doing some research, man. Your high school was pretty talented, huh, Warren High?
Yeah. We were big on football. Actually, me and two other guys in my class, we all end up going to Arkansas and making it to the NFL out of a graduating class of about 100. So three of us are in the NFL. So that's pretty amazing for a small town like that.
Yeah, that's an amazing ratio, man. Talk to me a little bit about growing up in Warren. Did you know that you wanted to play football? Was there somebody kind of pushing you? A family member or a coach that told you to play some football?
Really, my thing, I was really an all-around athlete. I played every sport growing up, football, basketball, baseball, ran track. I probably didn't decide that I was going to play college football until about my 11th grade year. I was kind of going between basketball and football, but I made the decision in 11th grade that I was going to play college football and end up getting some Division I offers and chose Arkansas. And then I didn't decide I was going to play in the NFL, wanted to play in the NFL probably until my sophomore year, until I really realized that I could really do it.
What was it that happened in high school, Chris, where you said, hold on, where the light bulb came on, you said, I might have an opportunity with this football thing. Was it a big play that you had in high school, or was it one of your friends or coaches kind of putting their arm around you and saying, hey, man, you need to pay attention to football?
Yeah, it was probably my family members and some coaches. When I didn't grow to about 6'6", 6'7", they kind of told me that my basketball dreams probably would be over. So I went on and put all of my energy into football.
I hear you. And talk to us a little bit, man, about the high school journey. Was your coach, is that somebody that you got along with, or was it difficult for you to have a good relationship with your high school coaches?
It was pretty easy because you were winning. They say everything is easier when you're winning. And we had a good group of guys. Like I said, I'm from a small town. We had a lot of small town field, and we all grew up playing football together from like third, fourth grade flag football. So we were real close, and we had a real good team.
In your opinion, Chris, do you believe, I know you were a multi-sport star, do you believe that kids should specialize in high school, or do you think kids should stick to playing multiple sports?
I believe you should play multiple sports. I mean, if you're good and you have the opportunity to go to one of those, it's going to happen regardless. There are so many camps and programs that you can do to get noticed now. So you want to have those experiences, I believe, in high school, that if you're good enough or want to play any other sports, you should be able to do that.
Definitely. And when you were coming up at Warren High and you were having some success there, what was it about Arkansas where you said, hey, I'm going to hang my hat with the Razorbacks and I'm going to take my talent to the University of Arkansas?
Well, really, that year, if you go back, 2007-2008, Arkansas had a big recruiting class from in-state. Like I told you, two other guys from my school went to Arkansas, and we had about, I think it was about 9 or 10 guys just from the state of Arkansas. That we all, like I said, Arkansas is really not a big state. We all grew up playing together, and we knew each other from competing against each other, and we all made a commitment and said that we were going to turn things around at Arkansas.
And obviously, I'm sure you watched a lot of Darren McFadden and Felix Jones coming up in Arkansas, huh?
Yeah, they were right before us. I mean, we watched them guys. We went up there on visits, and they showed us a real good time.
Talk to me a little bit about some of the other schools recruiting you. Did you have other options outside of Arkansas?
Yeah, I did. I had Ole Miss, Tennessee, Mizzou, Louisiana Tech. Those were some of my bigger offers, Mississippi State.
How was the academics for you, Chris? Was that something that took a little while for you to kind of get a hold of, or were you a pretty good student coming up in high school?
No, I was good at the academics. Both of my parents are educators, so that was instilled in me at a real young age that education came first, so that was never a problem.
Did you ever, because we have a lot of young kids on the line, Chris, that obviously we appreciate your time. And for those who may want to call in, we have a call-in number, 310-807-5195. We're talking with Buffalo Bills tight end Chris Gregg. We've got a lot of kids that, you know, they deal with some of the peer pressure that goes on today, Chris. Did you ever feel any peer pressure behind being a good student? Were there other guys that said, hey, man, calm down with all the school stuff and you don't have to focus on school?
Yeah, that happened. And I just think it was a shock to some of those guys that you could be a good athlete and be a good student. But that was something that I always took pride in and really wanted to show people that there's not all dumb jocks. You know, people can be smart and make good grades and then do good things on the field as well.
Definitely. And then when you decided to go to the University of Arkansas, I mean, I know it was still in your home state, but that's a big difference from Warren. Did you feel like it was a little bit too much, or did you feel at home when you got up to the university?
The feel of the place was, I felt like it was at home. But my freshman year, I ran into those big things like the college workouts, the college schedule, the going to class, the study hall hours. Those are some of the things that you run into as a freshman that you hear about, but you really don't know what you're getting yourself into until you get into it.
I hear you 100%. Is there anything, any kind of advice that you could give to maybe a guy who just finished up high school and now he's going to be a freshman in college as far as just getting out on the right foot?
Man, you really want to start that first year of college off good in the classroom. That will set you up to have a little bit more leniency your later years in college, and it will also help you get on course to graduate, and that's one of the main things that you want to do.
Did you redshirt, Chris, up at Arkansas, or did you play your first year, your true freshman year?
I played my freshman year, but I had an injury my sophomore year, and I ended up redshirting my sophomore year, but I played as a freshman.
Now, you were a great high school wide receiver, but you converted to tight end. Whose decision was that? Was that the coaching staff, or was that yours, or was it mutual?
It was kind of mutual. They had talked to me about it because I was kind of a bigger frame receiver, and I was real physical out there. And Coach Petrino, Bobby Petrino, was my coach at Arkansas. He had talked to me about it while I was getting recruited. And like I told you, I played receiver my freshman year, and then when I had that injury my sophomore year, they told me that they were going to need a tight end the next year. And I began to put on weight and get in the weight room and focus a lot on that. And by the time I came back, I was ready to play tight end.
I'm glad you brought that up, Chris, the fact that you had an injury, because we obviously have some kids that have been through that or are going through that right now. How was your mindset coming off of that injury? Did you think that things were ever going to be the same, or were you pretty pumped up and motivated coming off of that injury? How was your mindset with that?
The first couple weeks it happened, man, I was devastated. I had never been hurt before. I had never went through anything to that nature. But I'm telling you guys, if you're going through something like that, the way that doctors and medical and everything like that is today, man, you can basically come back from anything. The way rehab goes, especially in college, man, you can come back from anything. The injury that I had, I broke my fibula and dislocated my ankle. And the doctor told me 20 years ago they probably would have put me back on the shelf and probably would have never played again. But I was back in 5 months and going 100%.
That's fabulous, man. Talk to us a little bit about the position switch. How hard was that for you to get accustomed to? I know at tight end you're still catching the ball, but it's a lot different blocking DNs and linebackers as opposed to cornerbacks. How was that switch for you?
It really taught me a lot about football, man. When you get down there in the trenches and you have to learn, I always tell people tight end is the second most complicated position other than quarterback on the offense because you have to learn. You have to learn audibles. You have to learn protections. You have to learn run game stuff. And then you also have to know the route combinations just like a receiver. So it taught me a lot about football.
Do you think that college, as far as college football, that tight end is a dying position, or do you think that it's a position that – is still vital and still growing?
I think it just depends. I think it's still growing, of course, because it's really growing in the NFL. And I know a lot of college teams are running kind of the spread out offense, but they are using kind of the H-back type receivers in college still. And those are some of the things that people are going to do in the NFL because it's really becoming a very popular position.
Talk to us a little bit, Chris, about the life of a college football player. In your opinion, is it a full-time job? Is it a year-round thing?
Oh, yes, it's full-time, year-round. Especially if you go Division I, you go to school year-round nowadays, you get probably a week off after the spring semester, and you get probably a week in between those summers, and then you're back at camp. So it's a year-round job.
And, Chris, you had an opportunity to play in a BCS bowl game, 2010 Sugar Bowl, and then you've been around Arkansas where there's been some lean seasons as well. What do you think is the difference between that Sugar Bowl team as opposed to some of the teams that maybe didn't go to a bowl game?
Well, a little bit of it was talent. I would say that a little bit of it would be talent-wise. But some of the other things would probably just be some of the camaraderie. My last year at Arkansas, we had a coaching change. We had the Bobby Petrino scandal and the coaching change. So it was a lot of uncertainty with the younger guys because they knew that the coaches wouldn't be there. So it was kind of hard for them to really buy into everything that was going on. So camaraderie with the team and the coaching staff and a little bit of the recruiting.
You mentioned it was around your sophomore year after you came off the injury and you switched positions that you started looking at the NFL as a potential option. What was it that made you say, "Hey, man, I think I can make it"? You know, I think I can make it to the NFL. Was it a particular play, or were you just transitioning well to the position? What was it that made you say, "I can make the jump"?
Really, after like I told you, that injury that I had, my body really transformed. I really worked hard in the weight room to gain weight to be able to play the tight end position. That was one of the things that helped. And then just being around, I played up under DJ Williams, another tight end from Arkansas. He actually won the Mackey Award in 2010, and he plays for the Patriots right now. But me and him worked real hard together, and he was a great tight end, and me and him kind of did some of the same stuff. And I knew that he was going to the NFL, so I figured I could too.
I heard that, man. Talk to me a little bit about that, because you just said, "Hey, this guy was a baller. I want to be a baller, so I'm gonna stick with him." Do you think it's important for young football players to seek out help and get support from other guys?
Yeah, that's real big. You really need to look up at some of the older guys, not just some of the older guys that are just the clowns on the team, but some of the guys that are really doing some good things on the field and especially off the field. And DJ was one of those guys. He was a real big playmaker, but he was also a real good guy. And I just watched some of the stuff he did, watched how he worked, watched how he worked out, watched how he watched film, watched how he approached practice every day. And I know that was some of the things that helped me.
What are some of the things you think young players can do, Chris, to get in good with their coaching staff? You know, a lot of guys are freshmen trying to get a shot on the high school team, or maybe they're a young guy in college trying to beat out a senior. What do you think some of the things our guys can do to get in good with the coaching staff?
First thing is know what you're doing. That's the best way to play, and that's the easiest way to play. If you learn the offense or defense, you can go out there and play like you know how to play. That's the main thing that I know that has helped me in college and in the pros for sure. Once I learned the offense and knew what I was doing out there and didn't have to second guess and think, then I could just go out there and be the player that I know I am.
I hear you, man. Talk to me a little bit. We got roughly about 10 more minutes here, Chris. And once again, I know you're a busy man, so we appreciate the time. Talk to me a little bit about once you got in the NFL, did you feel like you belonged right away, or did you say, oh, man, I got a lot to work on?
I felt like I belonged. Actually, Buffalo, they told me that they put a lot of confidence in me. They drafted me late. But they told me that they knew that I was a good player, and they didn't think I would fall that far. Actually, it really took hold in rookie minicamp. They didn't bring any other tight ends in to rookie minicamp. I was the only tight end in there for those 3 days, and I got a lot of work in, and I got a lot of reps, and that really helped me learn, and that really helped me get a whole grasp of what they really wanted me to do. So that helped out a lot.
Going into the draft, Chris, did you know Buffalo was interested, or did you think it was going to be another team that picked you up?
Nah, man, I probably had one or two conversations with Buffalo, probably from the end of my college career until the draft. I could name five or six other teams that I really thought that I would go to.
I hear you. And were you at the house with mom and dad and the family for the draft day, or were you at a sports bar? Where were you at for the draft?
Yeah, I was at home with the family.
Great. So I'm sure that's something that you always remember, man, and cherish. Go ahead.
No, it's just something that you will always remember, and they still talk about it today.
I hear you, man. Talk to me about getting with the team from an off-the-field standpoint. Did you find that you had to be more professional once you got to the NFL level?
You really have to kind of find yourself because you're not in college anymore. You don't have to go to school. There's really a lot more free time that you have when you're a professional because – the way that the NFL is now, they have rules, and the CBA has really kind of protected players from doing a lot of extra stuff. So you have a lot of free time, so you really do have to conduct yourself correctly.
Do you believe players' actions off the field also affect how good they can be on the field?
Somewhat, because I know some guys that some people will probably think are crazy off the field, but their play on Sundays are still great.
I hear you. What do you think it is that separates the great players at the NFL level from some of the fringe players, some of the guys that bounce around a lot?
Sometimes it's the situation. Sometimes, like, the NFL is a business. Sometimes you just might be in a place where the numbers don't go in your favor. So that might be a reason. But the guys that bounce around a lot, those are the guys that I think that that just don't buy in and just don't learn, like I said, learn the system there and really find their neck in it and do what they do best.
Have you ever been in a position, Chris, where you felt like you deserved more playing time, or maybe you wanted your number called and your passing route called more and the coaches weren't calling your number? Have you ever been in that position?
I feel like that all the time. Actually, me being a former receiver and a pass-catching tight end, I always want the ball. So that happens a lot.
I heard. I hear that. You say, I'd rather be catching the ball than blocking, huh?
I mean, yeah, that's I like putting points up on the board.
I heard that. What would you recommend for a young player that maybe feels like he isn't getting his number called enough, or maybe he should be starting, but he's not? Is there anything maybe you could say to that young kid, or any advice you could give to them?
The only thing you can do is show it. You got to show it that weeks in practice. Every time your number is called in practice, you make the plays. I know that's how most of the coaches I've been around, if stuff looks good in practice, that's what they call on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays when the game time comes. So just always work hard, and when your number is called, make the play.
Great advice, man, great advice. Talk to me a little bit about guys. You know, there's currently a stat out that almost 80% of guys go financially broke after 2 years of being in the NFL. Do you think the NFL does a good job of trying to teach guys about finances?
Oh, yeah, they teach us. The NFLPA brings people in all the time and try to teach guys not to go down that road. But like I told you, it is really hard because you have all that free time and you do have more money than you probably ever had before. But, I mean, you just have to look at the stories. I mean, just look at some of the guys. Like I told you, to find somebody to mentor on the field that's doing good. If you want to not do something bad, look at some of the people that have done bad and been through some of those financial struggles and don't do some of the stuff that they did.
Great advice, Chris. Great advice. And as far as future goals or things that you kind of got your eye on, hobbies, passion, I know you're young, and I know that you're passionate about the football field and being as good as you can as a pro. But are there any other passions or things you want to get into after football?
Yeah, I love music and movies. So hopefully, man, one day maybe I can act in a movie. And I do music all the time, so I'm kind of into that. And my major in college was sports management, so maybe I always tell people one day I'm going to be a GM or an athletic director myself.
There you go, Chris. That's what we like to hear, man. Well, you're getting off to an amazing start, man. I think this is just the beginning for you because you're so new to the position. Obviously, the Bills have taken a liking to you, so, you know, we really wish you the best. As far as just signing off with us tonight, is there any little last nuggets of advice or anything you want to tell the kids who want to be in your position one day?
Hey, just that hard work pays off. The work that you do behind the scenes, the work that you do when no one's looking, the extra work that you do when no one tells you to, that stuff does pay off. So always work hard.
There you go, man. Well, hey, we definitely appreciate it. I know you're on the East Coast, so it's getting late over there. Last but not least, man, I know you're an SEC guy, and our company's actually based out of the Bay Area. So, you know, the kids get a lot of Pac-12 ball out here. But talk to us a little bit about the SEC. Is that where the best college football is?
I would have to say so. I mean, you see the last – this year broke the streak of us winning the national championship. I think we got like 6 or 7 in a row. We always have a lot of the preseason top tens, and by the end of the season, we still have a lot of the top 10 teams in the country. My time at Arkansas, I was ranked everywhere from 7, 8, and my lowest was number 3. I was once number 3 in the nation. So, and that was all in 4 or 5 years. So I believe the SEC does have the best brand of football.
Well, there you go, Chris, man. Well, we're pumped up to see what you got going on this upcoming season. You stay healthy, man. You stay blessed. And we appreciate you coming in the locker room tonight, man.
All right. Thanks for having me.
All right, man. We'll talk to you later. Have a good one.
All right.
All right, so there you guys go. That is young Chris Gregg, tight end for the Buffalo Bills. We are so appreciative of him coming into the locker room tonight to drop some more advice and just some great expertise about the game of football for you young players, your parents, your coaches. Hopefully you guys got a lot out of tonight's show. I know that the NFL draft is going on, and you guys are paying attention to that too. So check in with us at www.beforeyougopro.com. That's where you can get all of our content. You can check out all of the locker room shows from the past weeks. We had a great one this past Tuesday with Miss Becky Twombly. She is the dietitian for the USC Fighting Trojans and then also the Anaheim Angels. So this lady doesn't play. She gets the diets right for guys like Marquise Lee and Josh Hamilton and all those guys that you watch on TV. So if you didn't hear that show, definitely check in with Becky Twombly. That was on Tuesday. We've got more great guests coming into the locker room show next week. So definitely follow in with us. If you have not checked out our book, the book BeforeYouGoPro.com is better than all this stuff that you're listening to. It's all of it wrapped in a 206-page nutshell of information, content, entertaining story, and just really a servant's heart with that book, Before You Go Pro. A lot of people put their hands on deck and worked hard on that book. So if you haven't gotten our book, go to www.beforeyougopro.com, purchase that paperback or that ebook, and then pass it along to a young aspiring football player. So hopefully you guys got something out of tonight's show. I am your host, Coach Terrence Wood, signing off. And for our Before You Go Pro team and Executive Director of Content, Ashley Goodman, that is all she wrote. And we will see you guys at the top. Have a good one.